At the age of 9, Maria Runyon had developed Stargardt's disease, which is a form of macular degeneration, and this had left her legally blind. Maria is a 3-time national champion in the women's 5,000 meters. She won 4 gold medals in the 1992 Summer Paralympics. In 1996 Paralympics, she won silver in the shot put and gold in the pentathlon. And in 2000, she became the first legally blind person to compete in the Olympic Games in Sydney, Australia. Tom Dempsey was a kicker for the New Orleans Saints. And on November 8, 1970, the Saints were trailing Detroit by 1 point with only 2 seconds left on the clock. I think Detroit thought they had it. The Saints had the ball on the 45-yard line, and the Saints coach decided to try the impossible, a field goal attempt. No one had ever made a field goal from that distance before. Dempsey went in for the attempt, and with the ball held at about 63 yards from the uprights, he made the kick, he broke the NFL field goal, and he won the game. And while that was a historical moment for professional football, what is really amazing is that Dempsey was born with no right hand and only half of his right foot. As a physical therapist, I love stories where God seems to help people to overcome physical disabilities. Sometimes with his grace, I try and help people do that too. Glenn Cunningham was 7 years old when his legs were burned in a schoolhouse fire, which killed his younger brother. His legs were burned so badly that the doctors recommended amputation, but his parents would not allow it. The doctors said that he would never walk again because he had lost flesh on his legs and the arch of his left foot was virtually gone. In spite of the doctor's predictions, his parents worked with him and helped him to use his legs. And with a positive attitude and sheer determination, 2 years later, he was running, though with difficulty. Glenn continued running until he was good enough to make the track team for college. He went on to set a world record for the indoor mile and for the 1500 meter. And in 1932 and in 1936, he was a member of our Olympic team. Glenn Cunningham had strong faith, and his favorite Bible verse was Isaiah 40, verse 31. For those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I believe it is to God's glory when some amazing things happened and are accomplished despite the sin and its results on this planet and on people and their physical health. Beethoven is widely regarded as one of the greatest composers in history. He gave his first public performance as a pianist when he was only 8 years old. He studied in Vienna under the guidance of Mozart, and by his mid-20s, he had earned a name for himself as a great pianist. In the year 1796, Beethoven began losing his hearing. In spite of his illness, he immersed himself in his work, and he created some of the greatest works of music. Beethoven wrote the Ninth Symphony, the Fifth Piano Concerto, the Violin Concerto, and he achieved all these things despite being completely deaf for the last 25 years of his life. I found an amazing true story of a man named Jean-Dominique Bobby, John Doe was born on April 23, 1952, and he died on March 9, 1997. John Doe was a very well-known French journalist and author, and he was editor of the French magazine, which I probably don't pronounce right. It's E-L-L-E, L-A, I don't know how you saw that, but anyway. In 1995, he suffered a massive heart attack, causing him to go into a coma for 20 days. After coming out of the coma, he found himself with a very rare neurological condition. It is called locked-in syndrome. And in this, the mental state or the mind is completely normal and stable, but the body is paralyzed from head to toe. In the case of John Doe, he was able to move only his left eyelid. Despite his condition, he wrote the book, The Diving Bell and the Butterfly. He did this by blinking when the correct letter was reached by a person slowly reciting the alphabet over and over again. Bobby had to compose and edit the book entirely in his head and then convey it one letter at a time. To make the dictation more efficient, Bobby's assistant, Claude Mendelbille, read from a special alphabet which consisted of letters ordered in accordance with their frequency of use in the French language. The book was published in France on March 7, 1997. Bobby died just 2 days after the publication of the book. I have seen a case of lock-in syndrome just once when I was an ICU nurse. The patient had had a severe midbrain stroke, and he was also paralyzed from head to toe. He was on a ventilator. I remember standing beside the bed with the doctor when the doctor was explaining to him and his family the situation. This man could blink both of his eyes very deliberately, and the family was doing lots of plain 21 questions, and he was blinking 2 for no and 3 for yes or vice versa. I remember that night when I left the ICU, I could hardly sleep thinking about this poor man's plight. I mean, it would be terrible to be locked in a small prison cell, but imagine that prison cell is right here. Fortunately, this man had another stroke and died, and I remember feeling a sense of relief that his suffering was over. Today we are discussing overcoming, which means how God helps us to overcome the many obstacles that come in this life. Obstacles can be physical, mental, or spiritual, and we all face them. And while I have given you stories of physical obstacles and how they have been conquered, and I think that there are important lessons here, I would like to discuss one thing that we all face. For we must learn to be victorious over sin. The Bible is full of stories about sin. Many of these stories allow us to see man falling into sin. We have read of Adam taking the forbidden fruit from Eve and the world being plunged into sin. We saw how their first son became the first murderer by killing his own brother. As we go through the Bible, we see the sins of men, sometimes good men, men such as King David, a good man, but also a man who was capable of adultery, which led to murder. But when confronted by God with his sin, he repented. And it is said that David was a man after God's own heart. I'm glad for stories of men who fell into sin, but repented and were forgiven, for in this there is hope for all of us. The Bible also has stories that show us of people who, despite their human weaknesses, overcame through God's power. One such story is that of Joseph. You remember the story. He was sold by his brothers into slavery and sent to Egypt. The young man determined to put God first in his life and soon found himself in charge of everything of his master Potiphar's. Then along comes Satan, and Potiphar's wife tries to seduce Joseph, a slave, into adultery. And I love Joseph's reply to Potiphar's wife. It's found in the book of Genesis, chapter 39, verses 8 and 9. And Joseph refused, and this is what he said. "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand." And verse 9, "There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" I'm not sure most people would have thought about the great sin against God. People might have weighed the sin against the master or the possible consequences of being caught. But Joseph is a man of God, and he does not want to sin against his God. He does not want to let his God down. He does not want to do anything to destroy the relationship he has there. And I think that is the true lesson. Do we want to have such a relationship with God that we do not want to let him down or to sin against him? Such a relationship allows God to empower a person to have victory. The Bible gives further examples of people who lived true to God and overcame incredible obstacles without compromising principles. I think of Daniel and his three friends. They're an excellent example of men who lived for God and overcame sin and wickedness. Our greatest example of overcoming sin is Jesus. Let me say that again. Our greatest example of overcoming sin is Jesus. For it is here that we have the second Adam. For as Adam brought sin into the world, Jesus' life, his death, allowed us to be forgiven and to have eternal life and victory over sin. And Jesus was accustomed to our life and our temptations. For Hebrews 4:15 says, "We have not a high priest," that's Jesus, "who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Three of the Gospels give an account of some of the temptations that were put forth to Jesus. These accounts are found in Matthew 4, Mark 1, and Luke 4. You might want to look those up this afternoon. When Adam was assailed by the tempter in Eden, he was without the taint of sin. He stood in the strength of his perfection before God. All the organs and faculties of his being were equally developed and harmoniously balanced. Jesus Christ, in the wilderness of temptation, stood in Adam's place to bear the test that he had failed to endure. Here Christ overcomes in the sinner's behalf, and 4,000 years after Adam turned his back upon the light of his home, separated from the presence of God, the human family has departed with each successing generation further and further from the original purity, wisdom, and knowledge that Adam possessed in Eden. Christ bore the sins and the infirmities of the race as they existed when he came to help man. In behalf of the race and the wickedness of fallen man upon him, he was to stand the temptations of Satan on all points where man would be tempted. So how did Jesus overcome? Jesus overcame because he put his faith and trust completely in God, and he allowed God's Spirit to be in him. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Those words are spoken to us. We can have the same Holy Spirit to guide us. By what means did he overcome the conflict with Satan? By the Word of God. Only the Word could resist temptation. "It is written," he said. And with each temptation, Jesus answered with Scripture. This is our means of overcoming as well. The Bible says in Psalms 119:11, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." I want to read that again. Psalms 119:11, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." We need to put God's promises in our minds, in our hearts. One of the things for these youth is to try and get them to memorize Scripture. We've rewarded them with money to try and do it. Anything to put that inside, for this is how we overcome. We need God's promises in our mind in order to overcome the temptations of this world. I want to read a few promises as I end my portion of this sermon. The first promise I want to read to you is John 16:33. "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." I'm awfully glad Jesus overcame the world, aren't you? Amen. Hebrews 13:5. "I will never leave you or forsake you." Our scripture for today, Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Didn't say you can do some things. It says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Do you think he can help you to overcome? I believe so. And regarding temptation itself, 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you will be able to bear it." That's awesome. I think some of the situations we read about, and certainly some things that we're going to face in life, we may not always see that way out, but we know that it's there. God's promised. He will provide a way of escape that we can bear it. And then this promise, Revelation 21:7. "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Let me read that again. "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." I want that inheritance. I want him to be my God, and I want to be his son. And I think most of you feel the same. Today, our sermon has been on overcoming, and it can be various types of obstacles and things, and we've asked the youth of our church to finish our sermon. And so at this time, I will have them come up, and we will hear from our youth.
Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." The topic was overcoming anything, whether it was fear, phobias, embarrassment, or temptation. It took me a while to think of something, but I finally chose the time I overcame temptation. I was in the sixth grade, and we had this thing at my school called pentathlon. It's kind of like a sport for nerds. It involves quizzes and on math and English, and different schools competed against each other in a bunch of rounds until one team won. Since I had a 4.0 GPA and I was reading at a 12th grade reading level, my homeroom teacher suggested I'd be in pentathlon. I got a formal invitation and everything. I really wanted to join, but I discovered that the pentathlon meeting, where they were going to compete against other schools, was on the Sabbath. I was so disappointed when I found out, and I was really tempted to join pentathlon. But my mom and Pastor McCall just told me to pray really hard and God will tell me what to do. So I did exactly that. I prayed a lot, and I finally decided I would rather keep the Sabbath than compete in the pentathlon. It was really hard because all of my friends were in the pentathlon too, but I stuck to my decision, and I like to believe that God was proud of me. It's difficult going to secular school when you're an Adventist because it also teaches you self-control and to embrace your own beliefs no matter what they are. I know personally public school is teaching me a lot of life lessons that maybe otherwise I wouldn't be challenged by if I attended private school. And as I finish my education, I will pray that I will continue to overcome the temptation that will get in the way of my beliefs. But I know as long as I lean on God and put Him first in my life, He will always show me the way.
Amen.
Imagine yourself blind. How many of the things you now do would you still be able to do without sight? Now imagine you are deaf. Think of all the conversations you have had and how difficult it would be to understand and communicate with people if you could not hear them. Next, imagine yourself mute. This impairment, too, would make it difficult to communicate. Finally, imagine yourself being blind, deaf, and mute. Think how awful that would be. You would have an extremely hard time communicating with people. You would not even know how to position your mouth to speak or how to move your hands for sign language. You might not even know what a word is. It'd be like putting yourself in a glass bubble where you can't communicate with the world and the world can't communicate with you. How could anyone overcome such adversities as these? Well, Helen Keller did. When Helen was born, she had all her senses intact. But due to an illness when she was about 19 months old, she lost her sight and her hearing. Because she could not see the words or how the mouth moved, she became mute as well. She was enclosed in her own glass bubble, unable to communicate. But then God sent a miracle in the form of a woman named Annie Sullivan. Annie was half blind herself, but because she was stubborn and bound and determined to get Helen to communicate, Helen slowly but surely began to learn. Eventually, Helen was able to do what was thought to be the impossible, actually talk. Granted, her speech was not very clear, but it was better than nothing. Because of Helen's determination and her teacher's persistence, Helen was able to overcome her adversities and speak. She learned how to read, write, and speak in 3 different languages. Most people with all their senses would find this extremely difficult to do. Despite what seemed to be insurmountable adversities, Helen once said, "I thank God for my handicaps, for through them I have found myself, my work, and my God." She also left us with a valuable advice for our journeys throughout life. She said, unless we form the habit of going to the Bible in bright moments as well as in trouble, we cannot fully respond to the consolations because we lack equilibrium between light and darkness. If Helen could overcome such adversities with the help of God, can't we overcome adversities too?
To everyone who overcomes, who to the very end keeps on doing things that please me, I will give power over the nations. Revelation 2:26. Two frogs fell in a butter churn filled with cream. It's so cold and deep, we'll never get out, one frog squeaked to the other. Keep paddling, we'll get out somehow, the other frog croaked. So around he swam. It's no use, the other frog squeaked. We're bound to die sometime anyway, so it might as well be tonight. He sank to the bottom of the churn and died. The other frog blinked slowly, clearing the cream from his eyes. Keeping his nose above the cream, he paddled steadily. I'll swim a while, he said to himself. It really wouldn't help when my frog was dead. He paddled all night with his eyes closed. By morning, he was perched on a mass of butter that he had churned all by himself. There he was, a grin on his face, eating the flies that came swarming from every direction. The frog had discovered what many people ignore. If you stick with something long enough, you will overcome. And those who believe in God will overcome too. So when you are faced with a challenge, keep on pedaling and you will overcome.
Well, the verse that goes with my story is Matthew 6, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. One day, little Timmy was inside and he was helping his mom cook. He saw some cookies on the counter. He asked his mom if he could have one. His mom said no. So he went in and started playing games with his dad. After an hour or two, it was lunchtime. So little Timmy came in and ate lunch. He asked his mom again if he could have a cookie. His mom said no. So Timmy kept on, went and started playing games again with his dad. By dinner time, little Timmy asked again if he could have a cookie. His mom said no. Timmy prayed to God and he said, "Dear Jesus, please help these cookies to go away somehow." After he was done praying, his dad walked in and ate all the cookies.
Anyone who has younger siblings can relate to what I'm about to talk about. You know that time when you had a really bad day and all you want to do was relax when you got home, maybe take a nap. But there's just one little problem, your younger siblings. They just want to bother you and... What? Oh, they just won't stop bothering you and you even tried asking them nicely to stop. But they just won't leave you alone. It's like their lifelong goal is to bug you. But finally, you just can't take it anymore, and you pop. You get so mad that you want to slap them so hard that they'll never mess with you ever again. But you can't. You can't hurt someone you love so much, because as soon as you do hit them, you'll feel so bad that you'll want to hug them for hours. That's love, and you don't want to ruin love with anger and violence. Violence is the worst way to solve things. The next time you feel like hitting your little brother or sister, think twice about what you're about to do. Breathe and pray to God to help you overcome the anger in your heart. And think of what Jesus would do. Instead of hitting, you could tell them a story about being friendly and nice to one another, and maybe they will stop. Or you give them the attention they want. They could learn a lesson, and you could learn to overcome the anger.
Happy Sabbath. Today, I was going to be talking about overcoming the fear of spiders, which I'm still working on. But last night, that changed. Have you ever thought about the possibilities of being lost, stolen, or kidnapped? Last night, my mom got a phone call from the school district saying that a kid named Jaden Morris from my school was missing. When I heard what happened, I was shocked at first. I thought there were problems in his family and he didn't want to go back home. I really don't know what happened, but I got really scared. Then my mom said that we needed to pray for him and his family. The Bible verse we like to read, asking God to be our protector, is Psalms 91. My mom got a phone call at 10 o'clock saying they found Jaden. I still don't know what happened, but I prayed to God that he and his family is okay and that I would never go through something like this. Psalms 91 says, "Whoever goes to the Lord for safety, whoever remains under the protection of the Almighty, can say to him, 'You are my defender and my protector. You are my God and you I trust.' He will keep you safe from all hidden dangers and from all deadly diseases. He will cover you with his wings and you will be safe in his care. His faithfulness will protect and defend you. You need not fear any dangers at night or sudden attacks during the day, or the
plagues
that strike in the dark, or the evils that kill in daylight. 1,000 may fall dead beside you, 10,000 all around you, but you will not be harmed. You will look and see how the wicked are punished. You have made the Lord your defender, the Most High your protector. And so no disaster will strike you. No violence will come near your home. God will put his angels in charge of you to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands to keep you from hurting your feet on the stones. You will trample down lions and snakes, fierce lions and poisonous snakes. God says, I will save those who love me and will protect those who acknowledge me as Lord. When they call to me, I will answer them. When they are in trouble, I will be with them. I will rescue them and honor them. I will reward them with long life. I will save them."
Overcoming, it's a pretty big word. You can overcome fear, shyness, low self-esteem, your past, stress, anxiety, failure, and many other things. But no matter how hard you try, you can't overcome anything without God. Sometimes when we feel alone, our faith in Christ seems to not increase, but decrease. But these are the times in our life when we truly need God the most. That's why, in hard times like these, we need our faith in Christ to keep us going. As many of you know, we are moving to Puerto Rico in June, and I'm having a very hard time trying to accept this. Right now, I really need God to help me overcome moving. As each day goes by, I get sad because I have to leave pretty much everything and everyone that I grew up with. But I also get happy because it's one day closer to seeing my dad and the whole family being together. It's hard to see all my things being packed and choosing what I want to take. I also stress out, and my mom says that's not good because I'm too young to stress out. But one thing always reassures me, that my Savior will never leave my side. In the Bible, it says that God sees when a crow falls, and if he can see a bird fall, then I know that he is looking over me. There is a saying by, Reinhold Niebuhr, I think, and it's called the Serenity Prayer. It goes, "God grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Right now, I need serenity to accept going to Puerto Rico, courage to change my attitude towards moving, and wisdom to know that God sending us there is all part of his plan. I haven't overcome my fear of moving, but I know that if I put all my faith in Christ, he will never abandon me." Amen.
Please bow your heads with me as I give the benediction. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you that we can all be here today. We pray for those who are sick or injured. We thank you that the missing 10-year-old boy from Peterson Elementary School, Jaden Morris, finally came home last night. We also pray for your strength and protection as we face the week ahead. In your name, amen.